Blog Talk Radio.
Night.
It's always tough.
The Panthers, when the Panthers play better than you, you gotta look at, why is Coburn still on this team?
Feel better now?
Yes!
There you go.
God, he sucks. You big nose son of a
person.
Anyway, I'm Dan Colachico. I'm your host, I guess. I'm with the Angry Spatula.
Angry Spatula.
Yes. I need you to shove yourself up Coburn's ass.
No. No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
No.
It's our first Around the Rinks segment of the season. Segment? Edition.
Part.
Part. Edition's better.
Chapter.
It's our first Around the Rinks edition of the season. Paul Baker from StadiumJourney.com will be joining us around 9:15 or so. So we're going to yap for a little while and get it out of my system. The first thing I wanted to talk about was, you brought this up, really, was in Philly on, was it Friday or Saturday?
I don't remember.
I believe it was Friday. We had our First Nations coach go head-to-head, and what that means is, in Canada, their equivalent to a Native American
right. Would
be a First Nation.
Right.
It was Craig Berube and, please help me,
Ted Nolan.
Ted Nolan, that's it.
Yeah.
Ted Nolan of the Buffalo Sabres and Craig Berube of the Philadelphia Flyers went head-to-head. It was the first time that two First Nations went at each other in the coaching role. Berube is,
I believe they said he was part Cree, or maybe that was
Cree, but Nolan is the hard one. Well, Berube was part Cree. Well, it's spelled C-R-E-E. I know that much.
Right.
I'm assuming it's Cree.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Nolan was part of the,
I think it's Ouija.
There's
a J in
Ojibwe?
There.
Ojibwe. Ojibwe. O-J-I-B-W-E, and they're from Ontario. This was big in Canada. This was big news up in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very cool first. I had no idea that Berube was a member of
Indian.
First Nations.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought the chief nickname was just... I had no idea that it had anything to do with his heritage. I thought it was just, you know... Kind of, actually, I thought it might have come from Washington when we had Ron Langley was the Secretary of Defense, and then, you know, Chief just kind of became Chief of Staff because he was the big, well, one of the big tough guys. Well, not necessarily big, but.
He has his nickname, Chief, written on his shower shoes, his alias since he was a 16-year-old junior.
Yeah.
So, he never considered it derogatory, nor has he ever experienced racism.
Yeah, but he also didn't grow up on a reserve.
No, he did not.
And reserve would be the equivalent of a reservation in the United States, so.
I think reserve reservation is close enough.
Huh.
Nolan, I believe, why can't I ever find, he was hired in 1995 for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Was that long ago?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Nolan has much, much stronger ties to the community and so
he grew up.
It was interesting that the two perspectives on it. You know, Berube says really it had nothing to do with anything in his hockey career,
and
Nolan
is completely opposite.
Definitely that there were he had to work harder and had to pursue it and you know, which is interesting. Those two very different perspectives.
Wow, I did not know this. Coming up, the first thing I did not know either, but the first native player ever in the NHL was Fred Sescamouche. He played 11 games with the Blackhawks from 53 to 54. And with the Flyers tie, the best Flyer Aboriginal was Reggie Leach. I had no idea Reggie Leach was First Nations. Phew. And then there was, the first coach was George Armstrong. He coached the Maple Leafs 47 games in 88-89.
And the best... And this, the writer of the article, the best First Nations player, Brian Trottier.
Oh, that's, I thought it was Trottier.
Trottier
sounds better.
That Islander guy.
Well, whatever. I'm not going to hold that against him. It's not his fault.
But that was pretty cool. It's one of those things, if it had been in football or baseball or basketball here in the States, we might have heard about it. But since it was
No coverage.
There was absolutely no coverage whatsoever. So you had to go to the...
But this article was from Philly.com, who covered it 4 days before it even happened.
Yeah.
So Philly.com was all over it. And because and I guarantee, you know, not to give us any extra points, it only happened because it was in Philly. If it didn't, we wouldn't have cared. That's big news in hockey. And I did not know that about Reggie Leach. Reggie Leach. I know how to pronounce his name, and I'm unable to tonight. Reggie Leach. That's pretty cool. I did not know that about I forgot how long I knew Berube was an Indian, but I did not realize the chief thing till years later. But I just made the assumption it was
never occurred to me whatsoever.
Who was the Secretary of Defense?
Rod Langer.
Tell him to his face.
Yeah, go tell him to his face.
Yeah. Okay. What's he gonna do?
Elbow to your nose.
And something. Also, something very interesting, because it popped up on Twitter right now. What I think is cool is the AHL is getting a one-up on the NHL by having the first outdoor game of the season.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Do it first.
Yes. The AHL, they're having the Frozen Frontier, the Rochester Americans versus, and I forgot.
Let me guess, Syracuse?
I don't know. But it's called the Frozen Frontier because it's happening at the
Frontier
Field. The Lake Erie Monsters.
Oh, good.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's not Syracuse. The people of Rochester will be thrilled that they don't have to watch Syracuse yet again, because they play Syracuse like 97
times yeah.
a season, now, even though they're not in the same – they're not even in the same conference anymore, and they still play each other 20 times a season.
Look at the snow already. That was taken 2 days ago.
Yeah, that's
so
what happens when you live off of a lake.
A wonderful, wonderful hockey game, and I wish somehow there's a way to watch this.
I bet you there is.
I got to find out, because this is happening in 17 days, December...
13th?
I believe so. It was 13th or... Yes, December 13th. I was 13th or the 14th, Friday or Saturday. I couldn't remember.
Friday the 13th.
No, I know. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
No.
It's going to be 80 degrees.
It's going to be 80 degrees in Rochester. You were saying something about the stadium. This is why I wanted to bring it up. That Frontier Field was the oldest standing...
I was under the impression that it was a very old baseball stadium, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Because baseball is totally not my thing.
I wouldn't have guessed it. We're going to check this real quick. Nah, not the oldest.
Okay, no, okay. Then
you were thinking of something else.
I was thinking of something else or a similar name.
It's
a very nice baseball stadium.
Replaced Silver Stadium. Silver Stadium was in Northern Rochester that was opened in 1929.
Oh, okay.
That opened, Frontier Field opened in 96.
Ah.
It was Red Wing Stadium.
The baseball team, they're AAA. It's AAA.
The Red Wings.
Yeah.
Rochester Red Wings. And I think that's great. I'm so happy that they're getting the one up because I think their AHL's only doing, I believe, two outdoor games. They're doing this one, the Frontier, and they're doing the once-a-year outdoor, which they're calling the Heritage Classic.
As part of the Winter Classic,
right,
where they team up with the NHL.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
Well, but, yeah, so that would be Grand Rapids and Toronto of the AHL.
Correct, the Marlies.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
Again, I'd rather watch that than 15. Check out those jerseys.
Yep.
Where are they going old school for those?
They are going totally old school for the
That it was a wonderful segue. I'm that awesome. That's why I'm the host.
Wow, I didn't even notice.
Oh, did you like this segue? You sent me this link 2 days ago, and you will know if you listen to this show, we are really, really big on design. You're a graphic design major.
I was.
You don't lose that.
Yeah, you do if you don't use it.
Oh.
And I haven't
it's
used
still
it.
In your blood, though, because
yeah.
You're big on design, you're big on logos, and you're very on hands-on about the way things look and how they should be arranged when it comes to that kind of thing.
It's really opinionated.
This is the and I'm pretty sure they're doing it on purpose.
Oh, yeah, it's on purpose.
Oh.
It's on purpose, which makes it pretty darn
awesome.
If you're
within the sound of my voice, listen. No, you're already listening, so keep listening. Follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. I'm about to post the article of what we're talking about. And that is the Reading Royals holiday jersey. And straight up, I'm going to say it's Christmas jersey. If you don't like the word that I said the word Christmas, too bad.
I really am convinced no one's that upset about saying Christmas.
No, everybody else is upset they have to say Hanukkah. It's
no,
the Christians that are mad.
I've never met anyone who was like, oh, my God, don't you dare say Christmas.
Let's not talk about this
ever.
On this show. But I'm pretty sure it's the other side making it look like it's the other side. We have to change it to holiday tree. Nobody said you couldn't say it was a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Pennsylvania. Apparently it happens there a lot. Anyway, the Reading Royals. Oh. Right out of the Christmas Story with this ugly look at that sweater, man.
That thing is hideous. It's got a row of trees.
Describe it to the listeners, yeah.
It's got two rows of reindeers, and they did the poor Lionhead logo is in red and green. Oh, it's just hideous.
It looks like somebody took Photoshop and just pasted numbers on it and the Reading Royals logo and just made it red, green, and white.
Yeah.
It's we were talking about last week, we talked about their playoff jersey they came up with, or the jersey they came up with that they later wore in the playoffs because apparently it was good luck, which was a knockoff of the Capitals jersey.
Oh yeah, they did them as a one-off jersey during the season, and for some reason they started wearing them in the playoffs and they got on a run
and
they wore
them
almost exclusively after that because it worked.
For those who don't know, their dark blue, is that purple?
Purple.
It's purple and
purple.
Gray.
Yep.
And black.
Yep.
So imagine the Capitals jersey, purple, gray, and black, which is fine.
And the crappy old Capitals word logo, but it spells out Royals.
Yeah. So
the hockey stick is the Y in Royals. It's not
very
good.
Odd.
It's not good. The Caps one isn't good either, but
See, you're harder.
I don't like the old. I hate
the
word
dean
logo.
Of credibility, and he is the dean of credibility. Says he loves it.
Oh, that jersey is awesome. I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh no, you couldn't even. No way.
For what it is.
They don't wear toques, I'm gonna be upset.
Matching toques. Matching toques, and I'll go for it. Just regular old toques. That's.
It brings up my question. What is ugliest jersey any league you've ever seen?
Oh, wow.
Ever. That you personally have ever seen.
Oh,
not including this year's Buffalo jersey.
There are so many in the minor leagues.
you said, you should, because I'm going to tweet a picture of this before you answer your question.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet a picture of the jersey collection you have in that closet.
Oh.
It's supposed to be the front closet of our home,
right,
which is a jersey closet.
Yeah.
You've showed me so ugly jerseys that you're like, this is really good. I'm like,
Well, it's not that it's really good. It's just that, you know, it's old school.
Oh.
Lower minor league logo design, which is often, hey, my cousin Timmy designed this, and we're putting it on there because I own the team, so we're going to go with it. Toledo Storm, I'm looking at you. But there's some really hideous stuff from the early 90s.
It is.
I'm going to go NHL, actually. I'm going to go with the jersey that Mike Keenan wouldn't even allow the St. Louis Blues to wear.
That red one?
That terrible one with the saxophone on the front. Oh, that was horrid.
That was even worse than the Tampa Bay Lightning jersey with the rainstorm on it?
Yeah.
Was it even worse than the Portland's Fisherman?
Truly saying so, yes.
I liked the Gortman's Fisherman. If you just would have replaced the Fisherman with the original Islanders jersey, I think the colors would have flown.
That was the whole problem with that jersey wasn't anything with the jersey or the striping. It was the fact that they had replaced the logo that everyone loved and everyone related to, the glory days, with the Gortman's Fisherman.
What was the jersey you said? Toledo Storm.
Oh, the Toledo Storm one from... Look at any of them from the early 90s. It's, you know, Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, my God. What the hell is that?
It was voted worst logo in the minor leagues for 5 or 6 years running.
Looks like a hockey stick on top of a wooden plank that's blue.
Yeah.
With the word Storm on it.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yes, I'm going to post this to Twitter. That does. It looks like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It looks worse than what's the one with the hockey player on it that looks like it was drawn by a 6-year-old, you said. It was
the original Cincinnati Cyclones?
Yes.
That one's terrible too. Yeah. But it has a charm. I'll say it. It's kind of charming. But I just could never find a warm spot in my heart for that Toledo Storm logo.
No, that's pretty bad.
And it was around for a long. They wore it like a badge of pride. So I'll give them. They stuck with it.
If you got to run with it, was it Cincinnati?
Cincinnati Cyclones. They were, I believe that was their ECHL logo, and then they brought that to the IHL
briefly, and then
they dropped it to the cool one now, which is the personified cyclone cloud.
Which looks bad. There it is.
Yep.
The hockey player is in the shape of a C.
It's my jersey.
That is your jersey. The hockey player is in the shape of a C.
Yeah.
And it looks like a 6-year-old drew it.
But he is wearing himself as a logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those.
I'm going to tweet that, too. Yeah. So I'm going to bring Paul on in a second, because Paul Baker from Stadium Journey is on right now. So I'm going to bring him on.
Well, I'm sure he's seen some hideous journeys in his travels.
Paul, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Well,
very well.
I'd be better if the Flyers were actually playing a hockey game instead of
I love the ugly jersey talk.
Well, I was about to ask you if you would please tell me top three name three or four ugly jerseys off the top of your head.
The Milwaukee Admirals did a Bob Uecker jersey back. I don't know what year it was. Back when he was in Mr. Belvedere, I guess. But it was a real ugly.
I remember that
thing.
One. Yeah, it was supposed to. It looked like the jacket he used to wear in the beer commercial or something, right?
Oh God.
Yeah, it looked like one of those. Those were fantastic. They were so bad, they were great.
Exactly. Yeah, there's that fine line.
But you know, one that I can think of that didn't even come close to that line was the Anaheim Ducks. You guys were talking about the St. Louis Blues jersey that Mike Keenan wouldn't let the team wear. Anaheim, I think, trumped that. They had one with a cartoon duck. Remember the Mighty Ducks cartoon?
Yes, I have a fond memory of
the cartoon. They had a jersey
with
one of those guys on it, and I think they actually did wear that a few times.
Yeah, the Wild Wing jersey.
Wild Wing, that's
the Wild Wing.
Yeah, there was a string of them. I think those were all 95, 96 jerseys.
Anaheim, the LA Kings with the Burger King.
Burger King.
Yeah, I remember that one. I didn't even think of that one.
And again, that terrible St. Louis. I didn't remember that until you mentioned it.
The Tampa Lightning with the rain.
The lightning storm. That is literally a hurricane with raindrops.
That was not good.
Boston had a jersey that came out of that time, too, but they ended up actually using it for years and years, that mustard yellow one with the big bear head on it.
Pooh Bear.
The Pooh Bear one, which is by far the best of the lot.
I actually own one of those, I'm not ashamed to say.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's one where the predominantly yellow works on a jersey, because I actually like that one.
There was a classic jersey when they beat the Flyers. That jersey was perfect.
Oh, that was cool with the kind of
hand-drawn. The hand-drawn B. It was fantastic. I loved that jersey.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great. Because it takes their tradition and just twists it a little bit and switches to black and yellow. I loved it. I can't believe they didn't keep that as a third.
Are they still wearing?
They used the black one twice this year.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was trying to
keep the nameplate.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what their
Paul. You like
alternate
that?
Was.
You like that nameplate one?
Their third jersey.
Yeah, the black one.
Yeah, actually, I really do. And Providence has copied that one and kind of twisted it a little bit. It looks really sharp in Providence because there's more letters in Providence than in Boston, so I think it works better.
Gets to spread out on the jersey a bit.
Exactly.
Now, Kelly, before we move on to talking about the NHL and the AHL, well, in the season overall with Paul, there's one other thing you wanted to mention.
I just wanted to cry about the fact that we can't watch the Super Series, which is the under 18 Russian team plays the All Stars from the three Canadian junior leagues. So they've played Quebec already, and they've played Ontario once, and I believe they're playing them again very shortly.
And Russia won, huh?
Russia lost to Quebec, and then they actually beat the Ontario League team for only the second time.
The All-Star team.
They've had a terrible record against the OHL, apparently. So they actually won the previous game. I believe they're playing again, if not tonight, maybe tomorrow. I would love to watch the series. I believe they had it on the NHL Network last season.
That's okay. That was on the website. Nobody heard that. here's one thing I wanted you two to elaborate on, because apparently you knew more about it. And this just came out today, the lawsuit against the NHL.
Oh, I didn't know anything about it. I assumed it was about the families, or one or two or more of the families of the various all those enforcers who passed away within a brief period of time. A number of the enforcers from the NHL passed away, and I thought that the lawsuit might be related to that, and it turns out that it was. Some of the families were not happy with whatever the NHL offered to them or something. I don't know the details. I just thought it might be related to that.
Paul, I'm going to ask you first, and then Kelly, you can answer second. What stops first? What does Bettman and the morons on the board stop first? Do they stop the fighting first, or do they stop people getting killed from concussions?
Oh, I'd like to say that they're smart enough to end the concussions first, but I think they've been trying to get rid of fighting from day one. So I think that's going to be their target, and they can say, "Oh, look what we did."
Do you think they are actually? Do you think they will be successful in doing that? Two part question for you, Paul. Do you think they'll be successful, and do you want to see that happen?
I'll answer your second part first. I do not want to see that happen. I think fighting is a necessary part of hockey, unfortunately. If you take a look at what the NFL has done in football and trying to get rid of the headshots, I think they've been really successful. If you're watching football games, you're seeing a lot less of the headhunting and a lot less of the launching that was going on. The football players are getting it, and that's because they were hit where it hurts, that they were hitting the wallet. And I think the NHL has been very inconsistent in getting their message across. They need to really up the penalties, make them more consistent, make them harsher, and make people realize that, hey, you can't be running around headhunting. And I think the hits will come down.
But do I have confidence
that's what they're going to do? I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm not a football fan, so could you just give me a summary of what the NFL is doing? Is it predominantly like fines for the players?
Yeah, big fines. I mean, in the game penalties and supplemental discipline in the forms of fines and suspensions.
Oh, okay.
And you really they really tried to crack down on it last season. And it came down hard, and there were games that were just ruined by penalties every other play. But if you look at games this year, you're seeing a lot less of the head hunting and the head shots. So I think players did get the message. And I think Shanahan and his crew really need to get together and, you know, get consistent. I think that's the biggest gripe I have watching what's going on, is that the penalties are inconsistent. You'll see a hit go for a game suspension maybe, and then the next day it's a 5-game, and then the next week it's nothing. So I think what they're doing hasn't been enough to deter the players.
Okay. I appreciate that, because, like I said, I'm not a football fan, so I wasn't sure what they were trying to do. But like you said, it sounds like they took us, the referees and the league took a stand, and they were doling out those penalties so that the guys understood, know that it's a penalty and it's going to cost you each time, trying to get that message across. And you're saying it's taken root this season, so that's good. I agree. I think the headshots, the point that you made about consistency, that would be great if it was a consistent penalty across the board. If the games were even for everybody, it just didn't matter who you were, if you had done it before or not. And then the money as well, a bigger hit to the pocketbook will always get the player's attention. But I'm wondering, someone had brought up the point, and I was reading it, and I thought it was a very good point, that in hockey, you have those kind of hits, those borderline hits, and then the out and out, they're just dirty hits. But then you often see the coach and or the team coming back and saying that their player did nothing wrong, that they were just in the moment and they were, you know, playing a hard game. I'm wondering, do you see that in the NFL at all? Do the teams
and they went through a transition period where people weren't sure, you know, what was going to be a clean hit, what was a dirty hit. And you've heard players even into this season saying that, all right, if I can't hit people the way I'm used to hitting them, I'll have to go low, and then I'm going to ruin somebody's knees. So, you know, you've got the pushback.
Right.
But, you know, the league stood firm and stayed consistent with the penalties, and players got the message. It took a little while, but I think that message can be delivered in hockey too.
Article just came out about a half an hour ago, naming the plaintiffs in the NHL concussion lawsuit. We have if anybody knows any of these guys, let me know. You have, is that Brad Aitken, left winger from the from the Penguins and the Oilers?
Yeah.
He suffered repeated head trauma and suffered multiple concussions and subconcussive impacts as a result of his professional hockey playing. Since his retirement, suffered injuries associated with such concussions, as well as depression, personality change, memory loss. Now, mind you, anybody who's listening, because Paul and you and I know, this was after helmets were mandatory, that these hit that after 91.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't mandatory in 91.
What was it mandatory?
Helmets. McTavish was the last one, and he was playing in, well, it was, I don't know when it was, he was grandfathered.
He was grandfathered. So it was the late 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was sometime in the 80s that helmets became mandatory.
It was like 87, 88, something like that.
Oh, I thought it was later than that. Oh, that's good.
I know this guy, Darren Banks. played for the NHL for 2 years. He retired at 34 because of concussions.
He was a tough guy. He was a fighter. He played for the Bruins and the Kings, I think.
Ah.
And we have Kurt Bennett, who was a Blue, a Ranger, and a Flame. Sorry, he played for the Atlanta Flames. Sorry, dude. He retired at 33 after 580 games. That's a hell of a career, actually.
He's a Rhode Island kid, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. The Bennetts are a famous hockey family up here.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That is cool.
He played college up there?
He must have. They all went to Providence College or somewhere up here. But the dad was Harvey Bennett. He played for a long time as a goalie, and he had 3 or 4 or 5 sons who all went into the NHL. I don't think any of them I don't think any of them had long careers, but they all made it anyway, which is more than I could say for myself.
They made it to
the This is why we have Paul on the show. He fills in the blanks for us.
Well, he knows his area.
That's it. You named a Boston guy and a Rhode Island guy, so I'm 2 out of 3.
We're good. We got the East Coast covered. Now we need somebody from the West to kind of fill in the blanks of
two
years that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
Richie Dunn. Richie Dunn is another name I know. He retired early at 32, at 90. He played for the Flames and the Sabres, and I think he was a Whaler.
Probably.
Warren Holmes. I know he was with the Kings. This is like early 80s. He retired at 28. He was a Saginaw General at the time. Gary Lehman, right winger.
He was a pretty good scorer back in his day. In the late 80s.
It's a name I recognize. Yeah, it's a name I recognize. He was a Leaf, a Flame, a Canadian. Yeah, Flames, Canadians, and he was a Blue and a Canuck. He's one of those guys that would get traded for the, we need you here now.
Journeyman.
I'd love to make a name out of myself just being a journeyman. That'd be fine. Bob Mano, excuse me.
That's a great name.
It is a Bob Mano.
That's a good hockey name, Bob Mano.
They spell his first name backwards.
Not as good as Bookaboom, but...
Bookaboom is we're going to have to...
That's my favorite hockey name of all time.
We're going to have a whole segment dedicated to best names in hockey. he played 76 to 85 with the Canucks, the Leafs, and the Red Wings. He retired at 37. That's not too bad. But Blair Stewart, that's a name I know. Why do I know that name?
Got around.
He was a Capital for a little while. He was 27. Morris Titanic.
Oh.
Make up your own jokes first. help me with this one.
I can never say his name. Rick Vive. The one everyone will know.
Vive. He was a good scorer back in the 80s. Canucks.
Wasn't he?
He was a Maple Leafer.
Didn't he get busted for drunk driving. And they cleared him. He was cleared of a drunk driving charge, and he went into rehab. I don't know why that name stuck out. It was probably recent or something.
He was a big name in the 80s. He was up there, and then, like Paul said, he was a scorer.
But those are the names, those are the plaintiffs in this case.
Lawsuit.
And I really, these guys go into the league knowing that they're going to be hitting each other hard and things like that. So anybody who's sitting there listening, they knew what they're getting into. I just hear it now. That's not an excuse. Safety has come a long way since the late 80s when helmets became mandatory, but there are some guys that it just looks like they're trying to hurt somebody on purpose. And maybe it's just being in the moment, but that crap has got to stop.
Well, I mean, these guys played late 80s, early 90s. Go back and look at the average height and weight of a guy in the 80s and 90s who was playing, and look at the height and weight of the guys, the average height and weight of a player now in the league. It's crazy. At least there have been some advances in the protection, but you're not going to avoid dangerous injuries when you've got guys that big going that fast and they're out to hit on most plays. They would be happy to end the play or end the shift with a big hit.
Paul, any closing comments on the hits?
Well, you look at the game now. If you ever watch an old tape of a game from the 70s, early 80s, there really wasn't as much hitting as there is now. You know, the term finish your job, I remember talking to a couple players, and you know, they were the ones who showed me about this. The term finish your check really wasn't in vogue back then. There was a lot of skating away, just kind of letting guys off the hook. You didn't see the big hit repeatedly like you did for a while, especially in the 80s. You know, you think of Scott Stevens and guys like that, you know, they just went out to hit you and hit you again. And entire game plans were predicated on put the puck in the corner and just punish the defenseman. So, yeah, a lot of these guys are paying the price now for that kind of play. One thing I think about. Yeah, yeah, blame the Devils. That makes sense.
When in doubt, blame the Devils.
Yeah. another thing, if you look at the equipment the guys are wearing now, it's a lot. I think that contributes to some of these injuries and some of these head traumas. If you've ever felt the elbow pads or the shoulder pads that they wear now, those things are rock. They're very, very hard. And they're meant to protect, but I think when you get hit in the jaw with one of those things, that's got to do a lot more damage. In the old days, the guys were just kind of wearing pads, and now they're wearing very solid equipment, and I think that has something to do with some of the head injuries we're seeing now.
And back to the flight things, real quick. What was your take on the? If you saw anything, the Capitals Flyers debacle, as we call it.
I can't believe that nobody went and rescued Holtby when Emery was just hauling off on him. He wanted no part of that altercation. And
let me ask the question. Go ahead, please. Don't let me. Please keep going if you have something to say. Please.
I just can't believe that five guys didn't. You know, everybody on the ice didn't go over and try to grab Ray Emery off of him.
What came out was, I believe it was Volpatti, was going to go over and take the penalty for being the third man in.
Good.
And the referee stopped him. And Volpatti stopped thinking that meant that the referee was going to do something. And I agree.
He said it big of, so what?
Thinking that the referee was going to do something, then when the referee did nothing, I brought the point up too, a flyer could have stepped in too at that point. Anyone could have stepped in and gone, really? Really?
One guy's getting the best of another in a fight, but when one guy's just pounding on someone who wants no part of it, to quote Billy Madison, that's assault, brother.
Nice.
And once again, that illustrates just one of my many points and complaints about the Capitals. Because no other team would let that happen. I guarantee you,
If it was the shoe was on the other foot, you would have had 15 Capitals assaulted.
Exactly.
Just like Emery assaulted Holtby.
Exactly.
But no, it didn't happen.
It's been that way in Washington since Dale Hunter left, unfortunately.
You mentioned Dale Hunter. I just watched, it was the famous Byron Defoe-Ole Kolzig incident. They were just showing that on cable up here. It's like an anniversary of it. I don't know how many years it's been, 15 maybe. But the link was hilarious because it was Dale Hunter doing 5 minutes of the hold me back while he's hiding behind the ref, wanting no part of a couple of Bruins. And then once the linesman let him go, he skated the opposite direction right at Byron Defoe, and that's really how those two guys got tangled up. It was really, really humorous.
So Dale Hunter can score and run away, huh?
Oh, of course.
What a pansy.
Yeah. But he was the one guy who would jump in no matter what. He didn't always jump. I'm not saying he always was the man of steel and had the emblem on his chest.
Can you imagine when you did have the 1-2 punch of Berubian Hunter?
I've watched it for many years.
That's messed up. Because Berube was always, when you talk about him in Philly, it was always, he's on the ice, watch out. Especially if they were down. It's like, well, I'm going to start with somebody. Just like the Flyers were not the only one reason, but one of the main reasons they made changes in the first place as far as fighting goes. Do you think they'll be the catalyst again because of this frickin' Holtby thing?
I really hope not. That would be a huge overreaction.
Because they're talking a lot more about it than I've heard them talking in a lot of years.
Well, now, to be fair, there's a 24-hour hockey channel now.
They barely show hockey.
Well, yeah,
they show two people barely talking to each other.
But it's constantly on. They only have, like, three stories a night, so they just keep cycling through them. But
I'm Jamie McLennan with breaking news of the NHL Network. Cindy Crosby woke up. Oh, my God, he's the greatest ever. Back to the regular, you know.
Well,
that's what you see. For I dropped you off. I woke up with you, took you to work, and you know what I watched for 8 hours while I was trying to wake up? The same one-hour clip of the same thing over and over and over.
That's on you.
No, I'm just saying that's what they play when they could be playing games and covering other things.
The Super Series.
Right. Or at least rerun of it. Anyway. Cindy Crosby woke up and took a shower. He's the greatest ever.
Let it go.
I can't. I have a grudge.
Just let it go.
Jamie McLennan is famous on that. Now, I should be. I can speak better than him.
Well,
I can speak more better.
You can speak more better. Okay.
Well, maybe I can make you feel a little bit better. The Bruins just beat Pittsburgh in overtime.
Yes! Yes! Woo-hoo! Anytime that happens.
Go Bruins!
Yeah.
That's my one and only go Bruins. Well, at least what they'll play him 4 more times, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Penguins lost. I'm happy. So what do you feel? Let's get into this. What do you feel about the Bruins so far this year? They're your team.
The Bruins are the top team in the East right now, and they're playing very well right now, which is really surprising because they went through long stretches where they couldn't get more than one line at a time clicking. So it really seems like. But that one line has been playing well enough to carry the team. Like right now, it's their third line that's really playing well, which is Chris Kelly and Riley Smith and, oh, who's on the other side? The one-eyed Swede, they call him, Carl Soderberg.
I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, that's Boston, to me, they're like, they're just, at this point, they're kind of built for the playoffs. I mean, they've got the goaltending. Tuukka Rask is
holy cow.
Freaking
who would have thought
insane.
Tuukka Rask would do this? His
insane.
Goals against,
knew,
I think, 1.6.
Jesus,
he's just playing insane. And then they just play that defensive system that just they shut down. Who are you guys playing the other day? And you shut up. They didn't get a shot for. Like over 20 minutes or something. It was
Pittsburgh.
It wasn't Pittsburgh. It was a game or two before.
Oh, I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe St. Louis
Carolina,
or another. Oh, Carolina. Okay. Well, now Carolina, but still no shot whatsoever in 20 or 10 minutes here, 10 minutes in the other period or something like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd imagine that if I wasn't a Bruins fan, I would actually absolutely hate to watch them play because it's just stifling and five guys collapse down upon the goal. And that's really the way they play. They'll give you outside stuff all day long. You can pump up 70 shots a game as long as you're on the perimeter. Their
right.
game is to have the five guys in the box taking away the quality chances.
Yeah.
Listen, at least they're not playing the way that Tampa Bay was playing a couple of years ago.
Oh, the 1-4-1.
I remember the game. Was it Philly that they were playing when Philly just kind of stood back in their zone with the puck and said, come on, come get us?
Yeah. It was Philly, and they were just sitting there like, no, if you're not going to play, I'm not going to play. It was literally like that, and they were flipping out. And surprisingly, people who analyzed it were taking the Flyer side on that because I didn't like they were kind of like, well, I'm not going to play, you're not going to play. But everybody was like, no, screw them. If they're going to hold back, just keep the puck and just sit there.
Yeah, what was the guy's name? Boucher.
Boucher, yeah.
Boucher did the same thing in the AHL the season before.
Oh,
it drove everybody insane.
I'd rather see five guys crash the net than, see six, four guys sit there and go, hey, you pass it back and forth. It's fun.
Oh, I mean, it's all a variation on the...
I didn't buy a ticket to see it, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's all a variation on the trap. It's just they keep modifying it. I'm actually of the mindset at this point that the only way hockey gets interesting again is each team has to take one guy off the ice. So you go 4-on-4 because the guys are so big now. You have to take a guy on each zone out of play, and then the coaches need 20 years to come up with defensive systems to make that completely boring.
Mm-hmm. You could always make the net bigger.
Well, yeah.
They just made it smaller.
They were just talking about that in the Flyers-Panthers game
because Bergenheim ducked it in on the other side. And they said, you know, if the net was the same size as it used to be, which was technically shaped differently, you think you would have gotten that in? I was like, no. No, he wouldn't.
That's right, because they made it shallower, so just to increase chances like that.
Yeah, you got more room behind there, and then the angles are a little bit different, too.
Oh, I have an idea. Get rid of the trapezoid.
Oh, I wish.
I'm going to bring that up until they get rid of it.
I wish.
You won't get rid of shootout, at least get rid of that frickin' trapezoid.
I'm pretty much convinced that Brodeur has to retire before we can get rid of the stupid trapezoid. Well, it's his fault in the first place.
It's going to be 14 more years the way he's playing.
Yeah. He's never going to retire. He's going to taunt the Philly fans for the rest of his career.
He didn't say anything. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about that. Who do you see in the West being the challenge for your Bruins there, Paul?
Oh, I think I think the West is a superior conference right now. Last time I was on with you all, I talked about Chicago, and they haven't done anything to change my mind. St. Louis was here in Boston over the week, and they played a fantastic game with the Bruins. Ended up 2-2, and St. Louis won in the shootout. But it was just a playoff-type game, tight checking, grinding, two big physical teams. They just went at each other, and it was just a fantastic game. So I think they're for real. Go ahead.
No, the only game I saw St. Louis in the full time was when they played the Caps, and that was the one game that the Caps showed up in. So I didn't see the impressive Blues team that everyone else had been talking about. I could see the potential. I didn't see it in that game.
See, that's what NHL needs to take advantage of. When it's early, like in the morning, afternoon, replay the West Coast first. Because what they do is they replay the night. Do it reversed. Replay the West Coast. Because with the Game Center, it's great, but by the time the third period hits, it's like midnight. It's like, no, Daddy's got to get up in the morning.
Yeah, I hate it. I love when the playoffs roll around because then I have an excuse to stay up later, but it's really tough to do during the regular season. But, yeah, I mean, all the great teams right now are over in the West. You take the Oilers out of the equation and probably the Flames. And everyone else over there could probably beat anybody in the East on any given night, maybe except Boston.
Paul, anything
else?
Yeah,
it's a solid teams, and I love that you put Boston up there above everybody else. When is Edmonton going to get better? They've had the number one pick, I think, for the last 7 or 8 years. And when are they going to get to put it all together?
Yeah, they keep... It's one of those things that you keep waiting for it to click, and it never quite has. I don't know. I always kind of think it might be a case that they need to find the right two or three veterans with these kids. Some defense would definitely help.
Can you imagine if all of a sudden the Oilers turned it around?
That'd be great.
And it's like old times again.
I'd love to see that high-powered offense unleashed upon the NHL.
Because I loved hockey. Even when I first got into hockey, that name Oilers was a name the Oilers are coming to town. Even when Gretzky left the first couple of years I was watching, it was like, uh-oh. And I was like, yeah, you know, just 14 young guys. And
Breeze Gallo.
And I just want to point out to Paul, you're talking to a gentleman that did pick Boston for it all this year.
That's true.
First episode, you have more confidence than I did at the beginning of the year.
First episode. Just watching them play, I'm like, no way. They came out. Unless, like, Chara and 15 other guys break their legs, like Stamkos did. I think you got. I think you're gonna be fine.
I think this team is built for the. Like you said, they're built for the playoffs, and they'll be there for another good solid run.
Yeah.
Come the spring from the Atlantic Division is Toronto.
Really?
You believe in Toronto?
No, but I think they. How could I put this? You know, they've got a bitter taste in their mouths, I would think. And if they match up with Boston again this year, that's going to be one nasty series.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that happens at some point in the playoffs.
The Canadian team I heard hate worse than the Leafs are the Senators. I want them to fail so badly, both of them. I just knew.
It's all...
And Vince, that one was for you. I hate the Leafs. Okay? The Leafs are so good. Never mind. Anyway, how does the AHL look to you guys this year? Paul, you first.
The AHL? Well, Providence looks terrible as usual, and I've seen my share of them. you know, when you watch the AHL, unfortunately, the way the schedule is set up, and I heard Kelly alluding to this, you see basically five teams all year.
Yeah.
Because the way they play, and a team like Providence really does this, we see the other New England teams, and basically no one else except for one or two stragglers. So we've seen – my wife and I have gone to, I think, about a dozen games, AHL games this year, and I think we've only seen six or seven teams total.
We've seen a lot of
Manchester, a lot of Springfield. Yeah.
Never seen either of them.
We went to a game in Springfield and actually saw Manchester again. We just couldn't escape them.
They're haunting you.
Yeah, but the Monarchs are off to a really good start so far, so they look really solid. And they've had a lot of guys called up to New York to Los Angeles, and including their goalie because Quick got injured, and they haven't skipped a beat yet.
Oh, wow. That's always good news when you have like three or four or five guys go up and they're still firing on all cylinders. Like, oh, thank you.
Sure, somebody else gets a chance and they jump at the chance to.
Monarchs just released Ulrich. Does that mean anything?
Not to me. I unfortunately do not know the names in the AHL anymore.
Well, how about you? What does the AHL look like to you, Bears fan?
I finally got to see a game in Hershey. We were up in Hershey on Saturday. I was so happy to see a live game. It's my first live game of the season. I was just overjoyed. And the Bears won, so it was an awesome night all around.
You heard what happened the next night, right?
Yeah.
They got revenge.
Yeah, they got that. Well, it was not a complete blowout, but there were two empty net goals at the end, so it was 5-1 or something like that. But they showed up and played a really good game against Binghamton, so I'll take it. Because
Lawson,
the Bears are terrible.
Lawson, who was in net, got psyched out within the first 2 minutes. I believe it was Siegel or Taff got in right on him, and he started freaking out. And after that, 1, 2, 3, within like 3 minutes, I was like, they got to him, it's over.
But the Bears made it interesting.
Unfortunately, chocolate.
They have third period problems this year. They've been ahead, I think, you know, probably half their games, and they've lost the majority of their games this year. So, but still, getting out to the rink and seeing a game live and cheering and yelling at people and yelling at the teams, you can't beat it.
Did they keep water in their pocket? Paul, I'm sitting there. Paul, okay. We're sitting there watching the game, and there's a couple behind us that the guy is one of these guys who is a hockey expert, probably never played a game in his life, who's calling plays as they're going, and not one of them was what happened on the ice.
Friend versus girlfriend, right?
Oh.
One of those guys?
No, it gets better. Oh, it gets – yes. yes, it was. But they were both drinking, which made it better. So, you know, I hope they fell into a chocolate vat on the way home from Russia. What made it better is there is a scrum towards the end of the third period, and the water bottle gets knocked off the net, and the girlfriend – everybody get quiet. And the girlfriend said to the boyfriend, "Hey, do they have water bottles in their pocket?" And I just looked out, and I just looked out to the upper level, and I said, "Oh my God!" And Kelly was like, "What?" I'm like, "They got water bottles in their pockets. Did you know that?" Oh my God!
I have a streak of every time I buy tickets, I manage to sit in front of the most obnoxious person in the arena.
Or dumb.
Or just obnoxious in various ways, but loud and drunk, the constant play-by-play guy who doesn't get anything right.
the guy
who knows nothing about anything but won't shut up.
He was like that. He's going to shoot it. He's going to go glove side. He's going to make it safe. And he slap shot it, and it was a blocker. So you're an idiot. You have no idea. Shut up.
But they won't.
But no, I know. I totally know what I'm talking about. What's happening with AHL New England?
He already said that.
He did.
Yes, he did.
He's talking
about Providence playing
was,
New England
yes,
teams
he did.
All the time.
Are we finished with New England? We covered the West Coast. There's only three teams out there.
I think there's
in
more.
In the AHL, is there that many?
There's Abbotsford.
Trying to think. Has anybody, other than Paul, have you seen the new Phantoms jerseys?
There's a new Phantoms jersey.
Yeah, well, they're moving to Lehigh Valley, so they're dropping the purple, adding the blue.
Well, that's probably a good thing. They're keeping the same logo, though, aren't they?
Oh, God, they are stupid to not to do that.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, same logo. They just, yeah, some, the home is nice. The home is just the standard white jersey. You got the logo nice and big on it.
It's like a nice throwback to the Philadelphia Phantoms.
Yeah, it's got
jersey.
The nice, a little bit of orange down on the bottom of the sleeves. And then the road one is just kind of funky. There's striping on the sleeves, but there's also this weird, like, semicircle on the inside of the sleeves. It's very...
It was like the designer didn't decide if he wanted to go with stripes or curves.
Yeah.
So he's like,
yeah, they get away with weird stuff like that in the minor leagues. There's always some kind of strange... permutation of jerseys that start out in the minors.
I don't think it matters for them next year. They're going to sell a ton of jerseys in Lehigh Valley because
exactly.
Everyone will need it. It was funny. The lady who was sitting next to us in Hershey, she was on a date, and
it was
her first hockey game. And in talking to her, she mentioned that she was down from Allentown and she was looking forward to having a team there. So it's kind of interesting how the world of hockey kind of revolves around. You wind up running into people who travel in the same circles and that kind of thing.
Had I known, I would have given her the nice blow-by-blow on the Phantoms.
And you would have asked for tickets for opening night.
Yeah, I'm going to be there one way or the other.
He desperately wants to see his Phantoms again.
Miss my Phantoms.
In Pennsylvania.
That's true. It was a big blow when they left Philly to head up to upstate.
Yeah, we go to the when they play the game in Philly every year, and it's amazing. I mean, they pack that arena, and it's all. Nobody's wearing there's some Flyer stuff, but everybody's decked out in their Phantoms regalia. There's a huge fan base there that is ready and waiting for the team to come back closer so that they can see their Phantoms again. So they're not going to have any problem selling tickets for quite some time there.
Nice. And that's one of the guilty pleasures of following the minor leagues is the musical chairs that goes on every summer. You get to see which teams move and affiliations change, and it's always a lot of fun, a lot of speculation and conjecture, and just wondering how it's all going to turn. And you know, like who would have saw that Utica would end up with a team? They've got
exactly.
Like a DPW era, a rink, and hasn't been used in I don't know how long at the pro level, and here they are. Somebody needed a team, they had a rink, boom, Utica Comets.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, here you go. For 1 year.
It's almost like this is how I feel about it, because I love things. It's weird the way I'm labeling this. I love history. Like, I love the fact that there's been 25 years of hockey in Adirondack at a minor league level. So even though I am thrilled they're coming back to Pennsylvania, I'm like, please, I hope to God they're putting a team in there and they're not waiting like 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I hope
absolutely.
They already are talking on the back end and they have somebody sticking in there. Because that's a
tradition. I'm sure every owner looking to get a good lease is using them as leverage too.
Yeah. how the game is played, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep.
You want to do top five?
I thought that was around the rink. I thought that was.
Well, this is all around the rink.
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole thing's around the rink. Ah. We're talking about everything that happens around the rink.
Oh, I get it.
Do you have a top five there, Kel?
Ooh, put me on the spot.
No, you don't.
No, I don't really. I could come up with one.
Paul and I can do it because I did. You might not like mine, but I did one.
That's okay. We should probably let our guest go.
Yeah, no, I want him. What I want to do is Paul goes with five, I go with five.
Okay.
Then he goes with four, I go with four. And blah, 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 blah. Not just one, two, three, four, five. I'm done. See you later.
Okay.
Unless Paul wants to do it a different way since he is our special guest.
Yeah, that works for me.
Paul, go ahead
If you're a puck, we'll play by your rules.
Okay. Well,
smart man.
Not really, because he's bigger than me.
No.
Paul, go ahead with your number five.
All right, we're going top five players, right?
Top five.
All right, I limited my list to people I've seen play, so we're talking about since about 75 or so.
Jeez.
All right, so.
Well, I cheated. I'll say before you go, I cheated a little bit because I haven't been watching since 75, so these are people that I've ever heard of or been able to see footage of.
Yeah, it's cool, you know, because, you know, I didn't want to throw Gordie Howe in there or, you know, Rocket Richard, but I put a couple curveballs in there. So my number five player, Jaromir Jagr.
Okay, yeah.
And I think I just heard my wife scream from downstairs after watching him in the playoffs last year.
I understand. I understand. The Caps fan in me really liked watching Ovechkin knock him out in the Oh, God, what was that? Was that the Olympics?
Yes,
when
yes,
he just
was.
Decked him. Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah. Every Caps fan was just like, that feels so much better now. Everything's okay.
Well, he mentioned Jagr, and I'll tell you, I remember where I was sitting when I got the newsflash, Jagr signs with the Flyers, and I was like, what? That guy from Pittsburgh? Screw the Caps and the Rangers here. Is that guy? And then... You guys tell me, you know, everybody in Washington where we'd go to a sporting event, I'd be willing to Philly. Oh, yeah, hope Jagr works out for you. How'd that work out?
Yeah, he worked in Philly because, you know what, you guys didn't make him a captain.
Yeah, you swear it's because he was a captain. That man's amazing. I agree with Paul. Watch him play. And the guy I did not put on my top five, but I liken him to who's somebody who's a bit older, not near Jagr's playing days, but LeCavalier. Watching him and LeCavalier play, it's like they always seem to know exactly what they're doing and barely make a mistake. And you attributed to Jagr's big butt, though.
He's got that magic butt that can keep anyone away from the puck. I've never seen anything like it in the world of hockey. It's amazing.
Paul's been able to see him play live. That's great.
I saw him play live a lot. I had season tickets that year. Excuse me.
What's it like to see a guy like that play live? In person, I mean.
Well, when he was up here, he was my age now, so it wasn't as impressive as watching him back, you know, in the early 90s. I don't know if you guys remember that play he made, was it 92 Stanley Cup Finals, when he kind of skated around the Blackhawks team, you know, 2-3 times, had the puck by himself for about a minute and a half, and then just skated around the goalie and scored. One of the all-time classic goals.
Yeah, he was a magician with the puck. I remember watching it. When I first started really watching hockey, he was definitely the superstar on the rise. And, yeah, he was just magic with that puck. It was amazing. And it was when he was younger – when he got to Washington, I was amazed how physically big he was, because when I watched him in early on in his career, he was just so fast and good with the puck that I never put together that he was also huge, and that was why he could do all the things that he did when people were hanging on him and stuff like that, especially in the early 90s when you could still tackle a guy.
But, magic hair.
Yeah, and he had the mullet that was amazing, too.
My number five is one of my arch enemies. Paul, did you have something else? I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, no, no, not at all. Just admiring the mullet.
It's hard not to admire. That's magic hair right there. And I know a lot of my Flyers friends who are going to read this list are going to, or hear this list, are going to probably kill me. My number five is Martin Brodeur. Wow. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I've seen him, as many times I've seen the Flyers play, I've probably seen them play the Devils the most.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can figure that dude out. There's obviously every goaltender had a bad game, but I was there the night, unfortunately, that he surpassed Bernie Parent in regular season wins. And he's just a stud, you know, 500 years old, he's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, other than your Drydens, he's going to be one of the best goaltenders, if not the best, that ever lived.
Pretty sure there's a pretty strong argument he's the best.
No, I'm saying he is the best. I didn't want to offend anybody. I'm pretty much saying he's the best.
Oh, offend people. Why not?
If Bernie, I want to defend myself against my Flyers friends and say if Bernie did not get that eye injury, his numbers would have surpassed what two times what he had, and it would have been a lot harder for Brodeur to pass that number. But Brodeur is my number five, is the greatest goaltender ever lived. Unbelievable.
No argument there. No one did it as well for as long.
No.
Number four
is my all-time favorite player, Raymond Bourque.
Mm. Wow.
I think probably the all-time greatest two-way defenseman to ever lace him up.
Really?
There's been better offensive defensemen, there's been better defensive defensemen, but no one did both as well for as long. He did it for over 20 years.
That's a very, very true statement.
That's all?
Bork's one of those guys I saw play for years and years, but I never really noticed him, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean that in a way that he was there. Like Paul said, he was really good two-way player. He was just rock solid.
He turned around,
Every once in a while, he'd make one of the, he'd score a goal or show off the stick handling skills or something like that. But, he was just one of those guys that was in the league forever and was an all-star level player for forever.
My number four. Is the golden boy, Brett Hull. And Brett Hull, I actually was able to watch on TV a lot. So he's somebody that I was able to name that many more people and try not to name anybody on my top five that scored that many goals that many seasons in a row, over 50.
He was a consistent sniper.
Based on that alone. I mean, if you need, give it to Brett, you need a goal. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're 72, 86, 70, 54, 57, he sucks. and I loved watching Brett. And I started watching Brett during the end while he was with the Blues and the Stars. But he was one of those guys still towards the end, like, damn, man. Unbelievable. Every time he gets the puck, it's either getting passed right on the tape or it's going in the net.
Yeah. Well, I like, too, that he would actually he'd give honest answers to questions, too, which was very nice.
He was not afraid to speak his mind, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, because there's not a lot of that in hockey. But, he would answer a question when asked. And there's a guy who just never looked like he didn't enjoy the heck out of his job, which I appreciate, too.
There wasn't very many times he wasn't smiling like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, how you doing? Are we on number three?
Number three.
Paul, go ahead with your number three.
My number three is Mario Lemieux.
Okay.
He definitely
not a popular pick in this crowd, I know, but
No, you'll know why later.
He probably would have been my number one because my
Lemieux.
My number one was my list was going to be based on players I got to see play.
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to go to a lot of hockey games.
Yeah, well, no, I don't mean live. I just mean
even on TV too.
That we're playing while I've been watching hockey and watching it, you know, on a regular basis.
Get my list. I guess I should have. I thought about that when I did my list because I was thinking footage or, you know, stats in general.
But
so I'm the one that screwed the list up, not Paul. It should be Paul's show tonight.
I get the pick, and when I was thinking about it today, it hurt me. But yeah, he probably would have been my number one. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Paul. Go ahead.
That's all right. Just to get back to the Hulls for a minute. Do you think any father and son will ever break Bobby and Brett's record, 1,351 goals?
Hell no.
Whew.
No.
That's amazing.
Wow.
No.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope, sorry. I'm going to tell you right now, nope. No.
Well, since Gretzky's kids both play baseball, pro baseball and not hockey, so that'll be safe.
You can count home runs as goals and see how the number climbs.
Does that total include the WHA goals?
It does not include. Let's see. I've got Hockey DB up right now. Bobby scored another 303 in the WHA.
But he was putting up huge points in the WHA. They found some Swedes and they figured out how to play a beautiful game.
My God, that's just. I don't have the words for it.
Yeah.
Paul's gonna hate my number three.
That's okay.
It's Mr. Hockey.
As long as it's not a Canadian, I'll be all right.
Well, no, he wasn't. I mean, he is Canadian.
Well, that doesn't.
I meant a Montreal Canadian.
Oh, no, I know. He wasn't a Hab. Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe.
Oh, I don't hate that pick at all.
No. And this is not because of the connection later to the Flyers and his son.
Oh, okay.
It's nothing to do with it. He's awesome. No. Gordie Howe. Other than, I mean, there was the Hulls. There was his father, Bobby, but who was in the WHA and in the NHL. Gordie Howe was another guy who was just
I have no idea.
He dominated. I couldn't say the word right. He dominated. Who dominated in any league he played in. And I could say that in the 70s. And, I mean, come on. He invented the Gordie Howe hat trick.
There you go.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. You know that he actually only had one Gordie Howe hat trick in his career?
No, I did not. And it's based on that one that they called it the Gordie Howe hat trick?
I don't know. I don't know where the origin came from, but I heard that. I don't know if it was on a telecast somewhere, but he only had one Gordie Howe hat trick in his whole career. He played, like, you know, for 70, 80 years.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, Gordie Howe had considered a goal and assist in a fight, according to reference for his panache for fighting. It should be noted, however, that Howe himself only recorded two.
Oh, I was
Gordie
Howe
had hat tricks in his... No, I'm not trying. I'm just reading what the thing says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a mixture of Wikipedia and the same Hockey DB, the database.
The database.
One, October 10th, 1953, and March 21st, 1954. And I also picked him because of his longevity. My God. Even another guy, even in this golden, this twilight years of hockey, could skate circles and score circles around 90% of the guys on the other team he was playing.
Yeah.
Great. He played well into his 50s, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't look like he was in his 50s neither. That's the scary
he
thing.
He could still skate. You know? I think all you got to say about Gordie Howe, and so he belongs on any list, Wayne Gretzky's favorite hockey player. End of story. There's right there.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Well, if you're going to have an idol.
That's the reason he was number 9 and became 99.
If you're going to have an idol.
Mr. Hockey.
Go for the best. Named after the sport. Mr. Baker, you're number 2.
Number 2, yeah, nice segue there into my number 2, Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
All right. A number two. He would have been my number two as well.
We'll comment on that later. And so we can have a discussion later. We'll hold off on commenting on the Gretzky. My number two, and the reason I picked number two, and I only found after this guy, I know a gentleman named Bill Kelly who is from LaSalle, Canada. What province is that in? I always forget.
Quebec.
It is Quebec. He's a French-Canadian. He moved down to Jersey, and he was a volunteer firefighter with my father up in Cherry Hill. And he told me one day after I turned 15, 16, about this guy named Guy Lafleur, the flower, as he was calling him. And he would tell me these stories about these goals he would watch him score. And then I finally, in the advent of the Internet a few years later, was able to look up Mr. Lafleur. Holy crap. And he was fit,
he was fantastic.
Man.
Oh, he was the reason
God.
Behind the famous too many men on the ice penalty back in 79 for the Bruins.
No. Explain.
They were so worried about matching lines and having the right people cover him that they messed up a line change late in the game and ended up with about, you know, depending on what story you hear, between 6 and 16 players on the ice. And, you know,
wow.
They were, the Bruins hadn't beaten the Canadians in, you know, like 30 series or so. And this was the Stanley Cup semifinals, but basically it was the two best teams left playing each other. And the Bruins ended up giving up a power play goal because of that penalty, and then they went on to lose in overtime. Montreal went on to win the cup yet again.
Oh.
Sorry.
Just a
sorry.
Heartbreaking old story, but it was all because of Guy Lafleur.
And the only full game of Mr. Lafleur I was able actually to watch was, and thank you NHL Network, was the last game he plays in Nordique. They rerun it because there's another number in it for some reason. And to still, to watch him even in 91 play the way he was playing, and without a helmet still, and the game was kind of changing in the early 90s to where you're getting to those bigger hits, the man was like, I don't care.
As long as you can skate, you can play. That's the.
But it almost happened the same way everybody else, like for some Canadian boy, you heard about this guy named Guy Lafleur, and years later found out about it, and this little boy from Jersey heard about him years later, was able to see some of his. Definitely number two, if not number one, and we'll find out why in a second. Mr. Baker, you're number one, sir.
Being from Boston, I might be showing my bias here, but the guy who really made hockey in this area, number four, Bobby Orr, is my number one.
What is there anything bad you could say about Bobby Orr? He's got
no,
one of the
not,
best
well,
pictures
he
ever.
He only played nine full seasons.
Yeah, he's got one of the best pictures ever taken of him flying across the goal crease.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
a pretty good one.
That's a great picture. It's almost better than Dornhofer flying across the North Stars goal crease, but that's a different story. No, Bobby Orr is and that's another name you hear from the past, especially between the Flyers and Boston. Is that Bobby Orr? It's like, goddamn Bobby Orr!
Changed the way defensemen play.
Yeah.
I mean, he revolutionized.
Yeah, he changed the game.
Yes, he really did. There's not a lot of those guys, so, yeah.
It's a lot of those things, like when you're bringing up names of hockey in a bar. Bobby Orr is a name you bring up, like, okay, we all bow down to you, sir. You know, even up here from this Philly boy. Yes, sir, I understand.
I wish I had seen him play. I would have loved to seen some Bobby Orr games, especially in person. But even
Game
even,
Center,
yeah,
we can watch a couple of them.
Yeah,
I'll send
my
you
number
my best
one
Bobby
is
Bobby Orr DVD down.
Do you have a? Are you serious?
I am serious. I do have a best of Bobby Orr DVD.
We'll be talking after the show, sir. Because I will buy any hockey DVD of any legend like that. I'll watch that all day. And I'll send you a copy of my best Dave Schultz.
I don't think that's a fair trade.
No, it's not, but it's Blu-ray. It's worth the same technically, monetarily. My number one is a tie. And this might, and I'm saying this might tick off again a lot of people I know, but it's Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cheating.
It is cheating, but as much as I hate Pittsburgh, Mario, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's Super Mario.
I refer to him as annoyingly fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Especially when he was in Philly. Like, you son of a... And Wayne Gretzky. I mean, what, Paul, he was your number...
Two. No, Gretzky was two. Lemieux was three on my list.
Right.
Oh.
So I just named your... My number ones is your number two and three. We talked about Lemieux, but Gretzky... Only, and I just... I will utter the phrase that I've heard 100 times. Don't go where the puck... Go where the puck is going to be, not where it is.
Yeah.
And watching him play, you just kind of sit there with your hand on your chin going, how are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it works.
Yeah, he just put
time.
Up video game numbers throughout his career.
Yeah,
that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic way of putting it. And even that was one of the first retirements I saw in my life where I said, why is he retiring? He doesn't suck. So he's old. So what? And he's, you know, he retired for the reasons he did. But it was still one of those guys that when he played, I couldn't believe what I was watching, even when he was slow and old. And that wasn't very slow and old.
No.
And we already talked about Lemieux. I mean, he's Super Mario. As much as I hate Pittsburgh, he's amazing.
Oh,
yes. Those are my top five. And I think every time Paul comes on, the three of us, you included next time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a really busy day at work today, so I didn't get a chance.
Can you name five real quick?
I was thinking about it. Like I said, I had Lemieux number one, Gretzky number two.
Lemieux number one. Okay.
You know, I probably throw Patrick Waugh in there because I love me some Patrick Waugh. I like the insane goalie. And if it hadn't been for Brodeur playing at the same time,
he would have been
he would have had the numbers and the records, but you can't argue with the championships, even though he's clearly insane. Four and five, man, that's where it gets...
Just say Bobby Clarke.
It gets tough for me. Oh, no.
I wanted to put him on the list so bad, I couldn't.
You know, a two-way player, someone said this, and I hadn't thought about it that way, but Ron Francis was a great two-way player, and I think he might be in my top five, because there's not a lot of those truly great two-way players, and I think he was one of them, but I'm still short one player. And
you got one more.
Yeah.
Not a capital you throw in there?
No.
I was. No, really?
No, not in the top five. I love my
Bondra?
Team, but no. I love Bonsai, but no.
That's his name. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we got for Bondra.
All right, so you got four.
Yeah.
Before the next time you come on, give it a month or two, when we do the next Around the Rink, Paul, we'll get another top five. We'll talk about it and... We'll talk about more stadium stuff after a couple months has passed.
No,
StadiumJourney.com.
That's what I was wondering.
Sounds like a great plan.
What are you working on coming up on the website?
Oh, Stadium Journey, let's see. Last weekend I did a visit to Fitton Field, home of the Holy Cross Crusaders. So that review, that will be my next one up. I have several that went up last month on the website. That was my last football game this weekend. Now I'm going to be shifting into some college hockey. So, doing a variety of different college teams here in New England. So there's, you know, 30 or 40 to choose from. So I'll be hitting several of them in the coming weeks.
Oh, man. I can't wait to read some of that stuff because I'm starting to get into the college hockey.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's fun to watch.
There's not a lot around here. There's nothing around here other than some clubs, so it's not quite the same as Division I college hockey.
Paul, go ahead
and
the big
more and more of these guys are NHL talent. You're seeing a lot of them make the jump, so it's really a high quality brand of hockey too.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot more NCAA guys are winding up skipping the A and going right into the big league, and it's great to see.
Absolutely.
Paul, go ahead and give us the big plugs before you go, my friend.
The big plugs are stadiumjourney.com. Check us out. And we're having we've got a cookbook that we are putting out for sale for the holiday season. It's based on recipes from the NFL. It's a cocktail, an entree, and a dessert, each one inspired by one of the 32 teams. So I think that's a total of 96 different recipes, if I do my math correctly. Check it out on the website, stadiumjourney.com. And you can follow me on the Twitter machine at PuckmanRI.
Which I still contend is one of the greatest. That's fantastic. Which I still contend is one of the best Twitter names ever put up, period.
Yeah, get in on the ground floor because, you know, me and my 25 or so followers, you know, we can use some company.
Well, I keep retweeting your stuff, and if anybody's listening to the show, get on there and follow PuckmanRI. He's got good stuff to tweet. And StadiumJourney.com. There's good stuff on there. Paul.
Absolutely. High-quality website.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. I certainly enjoyed you coming back on the show, Sonny Kelly, and we're looking forward to next time, sir, and keep spreading the word on us. We keep spreading the word on you.
Sounds great. I'd love to come back again soon.
Excellent. I'll talk to you off air, my friend.
Thank you so much, Paul.
All right,
Paul.
Sounds great. Have a great one.
Have a good one.
That was Paul Baker of StadiumJourney.com, the New England correspondent. Yes, got it.
Regional,
whatever. It's New England's a region.
Well, let's just give him New England.
I just said that.
Yes.
Right.
He gets all of New England.
The Angry Spatula, you can follow at
Obey Puck Show
on Twitter.
Yes.
You may follow me at DanLaw83. Tomorrow night, we have a full week coming up. Moose Knuckle Entertainment. Two out of three guys showing up ain't bad, so hopefully we'll have a great show. That's on at 9:30 tomorrow night on the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network. And this Wednesday, 9 o'clock, is a best of four on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio for the Angry Spatula. I am Dan Colachico. We will see you next Monday at 9 o'clock. Keep it in the rink.